It's no secret that the recent downturn of the global market has led to increased government control. It all sounds wonderful, government solving all of our problems. But it's just another example of nations sacrificing a bit more of their sovereignty to a world-level organization. Fewer and fewer people are making decisions that affect more and more individuals. Dr. David Jeremiah explains how, little by little, these changes are preparing us for the coming centralized government of the final world order, as he introduces today's message, the new global economy. Now, here's David.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Turning Point, and I'm David Jeremiah. We are studying the coming economic Armageddon, and today we're going to be looking at the new global economy again. I need to tell you that this last summer I visited with my wife the state in which she was born and where her brother still lives. That's New Hampshire. And while we were there, we went to the Mount Washington Hotel in Bretton Woods, where the new global economy documents were signed, and I walked into the room. There's a plaque on the wall that shows you where the signatures took place, and it was an awesome feeling, having studied this information for almost a year, to be standing in the very place where these documents were signed and where these global agreements were made. It was really an awesome experience and a reminder to me that this is a new day. We are looking at things through the global lenses of our leaders, and we need to keep our eyes open, because this is the way it will all happen when the world comes together and ultimately is under the leadership of one man. During this series on the coming economic Armageddon, we would like to make available to you some positive principles for your own financial governance. And here's something you should listen to. It will help you understand what it is we want you to have.
Introducing Dr. David Jeremiah's 9 Biblical Money Management Principles that will change your life. This compact resource features 9 powerful things the Bible has to say about money and finances. Based on 126 New Testament principles and more than 2,000 Bible verses, these 9 truths capture the essence of what you need to better handle the resources God has given you. 9 Biblical Money Management Principles that will change your life. Yours free when you contact Turning Point. Call or click today.
And we hope you will do that. We've put those together in a very special little package just to help you think about things when you're making financial decisions. And they're basically just scripture verses with the principle laid out in front of it. And they're pretty powerful. It's believing the Word of God that helps us in times of uncertainty. And we can do no better than to put the Word of God in your hands. Well, we are excited about our study. We are talking about the new global economy, and we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday and continue that discussion right here on Turning Point.
Back in 1920, John Maynard Keynes, who was the most famous British economist and considered by many to be the architect of our current economic system, quoted Lenin in one of his books, and here's what he said. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate, secretly and unobserved, an important part of the wealth of their citizens. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and it does so in a manner that not one man in a million is able to diagnose. Let's face it, what Keynes warns us is happening here and now. Our nation's currency is being debauched, and more of our wealth is winding up in the hands of the government. It appears that America's economy may be in its death throes, and as a result, a globalized economy looms, perhaps in the not too distant future. Little by little, more and more is being handled by less and less, until our country is becoming more and more centralized, just as you expect it would be if one man is going to walk in on the scene and take control someday in the future. Now, I've spent a lot of time, and I haven't even mentioned the Bible, and I've spent all this time to tell you what the backdrop is in our culture today and what's going on around the world and how it affects how we face the truth of the scripture. So let me ask this question. How do we prepare for the end times economy? As we look back through history, through the lens of prophecy, we can begin to see this plan unfolding. This lens shows us that what we have been discussing is more than just a worldwide financial meltdown. According to prophetic scholar Mark Hitchcock, the current economic chaos is the first domino to fall in a chain of events that is setting the stage for the economy of the end time. Now, let me give you some of the reasons why that's true. Some of the things that are happening that are preparing the landscape for what the Bible tells us is going to happen at the end of this age, perhaps beginning to happen as we move into the tribulation, and then in full bloom during the tribulation period, the 7 years that are right after the rapture. It's significant that there are two global financial institutions already in existence that could provide a framework for a future global economic system, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. I told you earlier that these institutions were created back in 1944 at the Bretton Woods Conference in New Hampshire. Now, these banks are not banks in a traditional sense. Their global presence and their infrastructure makes the idea of a globally controlled economic system easier to imagine. For the first time since 1944, we have two economic organizations that are worldwide in their scope. They're global financial organizations, the IMF, the International Monetary Federation, and the World Bank. Since the terms World Bank and International Monetary Fund have been in existence for most of our lives, we've become accustomed to them. And because of this familiarity, the populace as a whole won't be greatly shocked or resistant to the idea of global economies because it's here. It's always been here since most of our lives, sort of sitting over on the side, not getting a lot of attention. Once in a while, you hear something about the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund, but not a lot. But it's there, just sort of sitting there waiting. And then there is now a global regulatory board. This is a really interesting thing. Another trend moving us toward a global economy is the push for international regulatory organizations. But in April of 2009, a group of 20 central bank governors and finance ministers from the world's largest economies held a summit to lay the framework for the New World Order. The catalyst for this G20 summit was the worldwide impact of the banking crisis and the global recession. The G20 nations are America, Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Britain, Canada, China, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, South Korea, Turkey, and a representative from the 27-nation European Union. Now, according to the New York Times, these 19 nations plus the EU represent, now listen to this, 90% of the world's gross national product, 80% of the world trade, including the trade within the European Union, and two-thirds of the global population. The importance of this gathering of national leaders was not lost on British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. 1 month before the summit, he said, "Historians will look back and say this was no ordinary time, but a defining moment, an unprecedented period of global change, and a time when one chapter ended and another began." The result of the G20 summit seems to have flown under the radar screen for most Americans. A global plan was adopted at that convention that called for uniform regulations and bylaws that will be governed by the Financial Stability Board. This board includes representatives from all of these G20 countries, Spain and the European Commission, and will comprise representatives of national financial authorities, international financial institutions, standard-setting bodies and committees of central bank experts. These are all of these countries. These key countries are coming together. They've established this board, and according to what came out of this convention, this board will regulate the economy of the world. The Board of Governors and the Federal Reserve System, the United States Securities and the Exchange Commission, and the U.S. Department of Treasury are listed as member institutions representing the United States. A new global economic government designed to monitor risks to the stability of the economy is developing right before our eyes. And whether or not they intend to keep their commitment, all of the G20 members have agreed to put all of their important financial institutions, their instruments, and their markets under the authority of a single regulatory agency, the Financial Stability Board. That has never happened before in the history of the world. we have lost our nationalities. We're little by little being galvanized into this humongous global group. Once again, fewer and fewer will be making more and more of the important decisions. The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and now the Federal Stability Board. These are what I've liked to call organizations in waiting. The leader of the one world government we know as the Antichrist of the tribulation will have to have organizations like this in order to control the economic lives of nations and people. And already these organizations are being formulated kind of quietly behind the scenes. Nobody notices, and I'm sure you haven't read much about them in the papers recently. Nobody talks about them. You have to dig to find out what's going on. In the middle of the tribulation period, as you know, the false prophet will demand that every citizen of the world take a special mark on his forehead or on his hand, and without this mark, he will not be allowed to buy or sell or do business. And the World Bank and the IMF and the FSB may very well be at the center of this global regime, helping its demonic leaders carry out their plan. And it's all unfolding right in front of us. Let me add another thing about this that's really reflective of prophecy and where we stand as a nation. And that's the growing influence of Europe. Another factor that's moving us toward a global economy is the shift of power back to the European nations. 2,500 years ago, God gave his servant Daniel one of the most comprehensive biblical prophecies ever given to man. The message of that prophecy was conveyed to Daniel through a dream given to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Daniel interpreted the dream, which outlined a history, a composite history of the four great empires that would rule the world from the time of Daniel in Babylon all the way through to the end of days. Much of what God revealed to Daniel has already happened, but not all of it. Three of the prophesied kingdoms have come and gone, but the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, has also made its appearance in history. That kingdom, however, has actually never been destroyed as Daniel foretold it would be. Rather, it gradually weakened and it receded from prominence. But today, we are seeing it resurge and come back together, just as the prophecy said it would happen through the image of the toes and the feet of Daniel's picturesque beast. And this is happening as we watch. This seems to align with the prophecy of Daniel, who said there's going to be a powerful reemergence of the Roman Empire in the last days. And he tells us that this empire will consist of 10 kingdoms or 10 leaders, perhaps. And he clearly states that in this final form on earth, this kingdom will be on this earth when God comes back to set up his kingdom, when Jesus Christ comes back to set up this kingdom. The book of Daniel teaches us that when that happens, when Jesus Christ comes back to set up his kingdom, a final form of the Roman Empire will be on this earth. And the Roman Empire is being reconstituted as we speak. Gradually but steadily, the nations of Europe have come together, creating a modern replica of the ancient Roman Empire. Europe is more integrated today than in any time since the days of ancient Rome, and the United States of Europe is now considered by many to be the second most powerful political and economic force in our world. On almost every front, the influence of the European Union is increasing. According to an article in Forbes magazine, it was the European leaders who called for this global summit I was telling you about to establish a new world order for regulating the banking system. The Europeans did that. That wasn't our idea. According to the United Nations data, today the 50 largest financial corporations in the world represent well over one-third of the total world banking assets. And interestingly enough, as a group, they are the most internationalized of the world's transnational corporations. There are 50 of them, and 36 of the 50 are headquartered in Europe. With America's economic decline and the rise of the European Union, many are predicting that the euro will be the next universal reserve currency. And in light of Daniel's prophecy, that would be an important sign pointing toward the coming reconstituted Roman Empire as the controller of the new global economy. You say, why is it important for Europe to be prominent, not only because the Bible tells us they will be on the earth when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom and the Roman Empire will be reconstituted, but we also know the Bible teaches that the Antichrist will come out of a European coalition nation, that he will subdue 3 of the 10 leaders and then take control of the entire European Union. And then with the power in his hands, he will make a covenant with Israel, promising that he will protect their peace for 7 years. And in the middle of that covenant, he will break the covenant. And the great tribulation will begin and all hell will be on earth like you cannot even imagine. And all of that is beginning to unfold gradually as we watch the scenarios in our own culture. Here's another thing that contributes to the end times and how it's affected us today. Let me call this instantaneous global money transfer. I didn't know about this. This is pretty amazing. Listen to this. Another financial trend that indicates coming economic globalism is the growing ease with which citizens of one nation can make purchases or conduct business internationally. And just think, it wasn't until after Congress passed the Interstate Banking Bill in 1994 that banks could even operate across state lines. And now they can operate without any international barriers. Here's an interesting thing some of you may be aware of that I was not. MasterCard continues to develop a global network for the transfer of funds. Today, its customer financial institutions have the capability to offer MasterCard cardholders money transfers from any MasterCard or Maestro card to any other MasterCard or Maestro card in the world. In a 2009 press release, MasterCard executive Joshua Perez said, "We are focused on developing convenient and secure solutions for the day-to-day financial realities of consumers around the world. As the flow of money between global workers and their families continues to grow, MasterCard MoneySend, which is the program, provides a valuable, convenient, and reliable money transfer option for consumers." In the same release, another MasterCard executive, Walt Macney, said, "MasterCard MoneySend removes barriers impeding the transfer of money around the world and provides the global economy with a robust infrastructure that supports growth in international transfers as consumers continue to remit funds globally." How does it work? "With such innovative technology, national boundaries matter little or not at all to monetary transactions. When you need local currency in London, Paris, or Bonn, just insert your card in the nearest sidewalk ATM, and your card issuer makes all the exchange calculations and delivers to you the correct funds. It seems that we ordinary citizens are already sliding into the economic globalism of the world." This would have been unthought of 5 years ago. Now, money transfers across all lines, internationally, through countries, across borders. It's almost a seamless thing. And it's just with a little card. What if the card were reduced to a chip in your hand or in your forehead? Not much of a leap, is it? Not nearly as much as it used to be. Well, that's all that's going on in the world that's setting the stage. Wilfred Hahn is correct when he writes that the real essence behind global financial trends are essentially spiritual issues and the affections of the human heart. He says it is the affections of the human heart that build this monstrous world-controlling edifice of financial tentacles. Joseph Stiglitz, the co-author of a book called The $3 Trillion War, is the former chief economist of the World Bank. In a 2009 article for Vanity Fair, Stiglitz predicted that one of the legacies of the current global financial crisis would be a worldwide battle over ideas, over what kind of economic system is likely to deliver the greatest benefit to the most people. Included with the article was a cartoon by Edward Sorel that was designed to cast an historically biblical pall over modern society. What kinds of ideas are likely to find their way into Stiglitz's suggested global system? By including the cartoon, he seems to suggest that the new ideas will be the very ones that created the crisis in the first place. Sorel captioned his cartoon, "The Four Horsemen of the Wall Street Apocalypse." The Wall Street Apocalypse. The title and the imagery allude to the four horsemen that appear in the beginning of the book of Revelation. the original apocalypse, and the cartoon pictures skeletons riding four horses in a wild stampede over the ruins of the New York Stock Exchange. Each skeleton is labeled with one of the four heart attitudes that contributed to our current financial situation. In the cartoon, those four attitudes are mendacity, stupidity, arrogance, and greed. And because the cartoon intentionally evokes a King James feel, one of the labels is somewhat obscure to modern Americans, and that is the word mendacity. Mendacity simply means deception. The cartoonist pictures how our heart attitudes contributed to the recent Wall Street crisis and will bring about the ultimate destruction of the economy. Unfortunately, these are the heart attitudes that currently rule the world, the nations, and the people. And to demonstrate the truth of this statement, I'd like to examine once again these four heart attitudes. Because you see, it's real easy for us to sit here and go, oh my goodness, oh, I didn't know that, and oh, isn't that something? And it doesn't touch us. But it has to touch us if the heart attitudes that are creating the conference of these nations and the globalism of our economy are heart attitudes that have found their way into our hearts. And so let's just be honest. Let's ask ourselves, how much of this has gotten its grip on us in our own culture, in our own lives? Here's the first one. That word, mendacity, deception. Almost every day in our culture, we read of identity theft, of mail fraud, of internet theft, of hoaxes, of pyramid schemes, of extortions and ripoffs. Many of these scams are directed at the elderly, and authorities tell us that in times of economic uncertainty, these crimes increase exponentially. They have increased greatly over this last year, if you've even paid any attention at all. Deceit is not a new heart attitude. It isn't an attitude of the future. It's an attitude of the past, and it's an attitude of the present. In the days of Ezekiel the prophet, he wrote these words. Here's Ezekiel's words. He said, "You take bribes to shed blood. You take usury and increase. You have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and have forgotten me, says the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I beat my fists at you and the dishonest profit which you have made and at the bloodshed which has been in your midst." We can identify with God's angry response to dishonesty and deception when we hear of innocent people, especially older people, being robbed or extorted. We want to pound our fists on the table too. We want to say, that's not right. I don't think any objective observer would deny that deception is rampant today, not only among scammers and con men. It happens in business corporations, as when a major automobile manufacturer hides a flaw in its car's acceleration mechanism to avoid a massive recall. Deception is rife in our own government and media as leaders and reporters spin the negative elements out of their explanations of political agendas, hiding costs and consequences in order to sell programs and increase power. Deception is rampant among us, and it will be a major factor in bringing down our national economy.
And you know, the Bible tells us that Satan is the great deceiver, and behind many of these things that are pulling the covers over the eyes of people is the plan of the enemy. You know what? His plan is beginning to take form right before our very eyes as we see the world coming together in this consolidation that will ultimately be one of the major tools he uses to wield his power in the last days. When that will happen, we don't know, but we do know we're seeing the beginning of those things, even today in the world in which we live. I want to remind you as we conclude today's program that if you would like to have a copy of the book, The Coming Economic Armageddon, that was released last week in bookstores all across the nation, we would like to send you a copy of that book from Turning Point, and we will do so for a gift of any size to the ministry during the month of October. When you send your gift, everything above the actual cost of the book goes right to Turning Point to help us get out the word that we are sharing in these prophetic events. I hope that you will make this a priority today. Get your copy of The Coming Economic Armageddon when you send your gift to Turning Point today.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David serves as senior pastor. Please take a moment to share what God is doing in your life through this ministry by writing to Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California 92163. You can also contact us when you visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, The Coming Economic Armageddon. This new book by Dr. David Jeremiah addresses aspects of the current and future economic changes in our world, and it reminds us to keep our trust in God alone, our only true source of safety and security. It's yours today for a gift of any amount. Just visit davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.